Before Dr. Chris comes, would you stand with me one final time? We're going to do our verse. Those verses are available on our social media and also as you leave the auditorium. We'll do the reference, the verse, and then the reference. 1 John 4:19-20. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. 1 John 4:19-20. Thank you. You may be seated. As you seat before Dr. Chris comes, I want to reemphasize our pledge cards for our missions team. So we give we have a missions team, and they put together a budget based upon the promise cards that are in the chair in front of you. So we talked about this last week, and we're going to talk about this for the next few weeks. If you want to take that card and take it home and prayerfully decide what you want to give, we would ask that you get that card back. You tear that card in half. Half goes to you. Half comes to us so we know how to build the budget. And we're going to be doing this for the next few weeks. So listen and be challenged as you continue to hear about the importance of missions and then your part in missions and what a great opportunity we have to be able to give of our finances to support the missionaries that are overseas and across the street, but they need the finances. And that's where we're asking that you begin or continue to be in prayer and then turn in that pledge card in the next few weeks. They can go in the prayer boxes in the back, in the black boxes. And if you don't have a check or if you don't have cash, you can do that through our website as well. So this week we have Dr. Chris Nannigan here, and it's been a better week of pickup at the airport. Some of you were worried, would he get from the airport? But this week he brought his wife, so he behaved. His wife Dorothy is here, and she is a blessing to get to know, and it's been a great privilege and honor to have Dr. Chris Nannigan come. He's become a good friend and quickly become a friend, very engaging man. That remember from last week? We're not going to talk about the doctorates that he has. He has 3 earned doctorates, earned 5 known languages that he speaks in. But the thing that we love about Dr. Chris is that he loves Jesus, and he wants to preach from his word. And that's what he has come to do. That is what the Lord has laid upon his heart. So as he comes, if you want to get your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, that's where we're going to be this morning. Dr. Chris Nannigan, would you welcome him to our stage this morning?
Pastor Tom, it was a delight to meet Pastor Tom and Holly at the airport and lunch and get to know their families. I'm also very, very pleased, the first service, to meet so many people whom Dorothy and I have not met for quite some time. The focus is on voices of mission, and we are going to talk about 4 voices in mission. This, by the way, is our family. Dorothy is here with us. I'll ask her to stand for a moment in case you haven't seen her and turn around. This is Dorothy. Yeah, I was telling the first service that you know, when you think of what I do in some of these countries, there was no way, humanly speaking, I could do that if it wasn't for Dorothy both accompanying me and affirming me in what I do. She also is responsible for our 2 young daughters who are working women now. The other day we were in a restaurant and one of the kids offered to pay the bill for us. Miracles do happen, I'm telling you. And she kicked me on the table and said, let her pay, that's okay. I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, she's here with us. Alethea is in the medical area. Karis is in the digital area. So we are very, very blessed. Both of them have leadership roles in their churches. And certainly, it's not because of me. It is in spite of me and because of Dorothy that we have. Because I've always said, and it's so true, isn't it? There's no virtue in winning the world and losing your family. Your family should be your first parish, so to say. So kudos and thank you for all moms who have the full-time ministry of taking care of being the heart of the home. We're looking at four voices in missions. And if you were here the last Sunday, we began by talking about the reality of hell. Again, Gary Turgent, our mission pastor, as well as when I think of Terry Conley and people like Kelly Robinson and others, there's a great mission team who's put this together. And there were four in the series that I at one time sent. And so we're going to address these four voices. Last Sunday, we looked at this voice from hell. We looked at Luke 16 and this rich man, Diotrephes, along with Lazarus, a beggar who ate the crumbs off his table, who both made decisions and both had to die and both ended up in two different destinies. And it was all because of the decision they made. And I called the message the man who suddenly became interested in missions. Where? In hell. He sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and he says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus." The word "send" is where we get the Latin missio, from which we get the English derivative missions. Send Lazarus. And we talked about the torment. It was a little bit of a gruesome description of hell and the torment and all the five senses being activated. And I said the worst thing about hell is actually we'll have a memory that's erasable. You cannot blot it out. And Abraham says, "Son, remember. Remember you had your choices." And we make choices, but we can't choose the consequences of those choices. But while we can, there is this urgency of missions that I'm going to talk about today. And there was this compelling call, but yet we think like, how can I do this if the consequences of hell are so gruesome and I feel so weak and inadequate with my own needs? Maybe you're in church and you hear the commander-in-chief, the armies, Jehovah or Lord Sabaoth. Chris Tomlin sings, "Lord of Angel Armies." That's exactly the phrase. "I am the Lord, the authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Now you go and make disciples." And we were strengthened to obey our commander-in-chief out of sheer obedience and go in order to reach the lost at any cost while we can. Today I'm going to pick up on that note of urgency in missions. We're going to look at two other voices to finish this series. You see, the first one could be out of guilt. "Oh my goodness, my loved one's in hell. I don't want them to. I feel so guilty." Well, that's a good motivation. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade people." That's a good reason. But you know, we're living in a postmodern world with loss of absolutes. Everything is now relative morality. And even make it worse with this cancel culture. If they don't want to hear it, it's like, "I don't want to. Don't bring, I'm not religious. Don't talk about hell." You put people off. What do we do? And we want to obey. And you know what? I have to do that. Well, Jesus asked me, so I guess I got to do it. You know, you remember our kids when you tell them to do something like, "Do I have to do it?" You know, "Okay, I guess I have to do it because I got some reward if I do." So that could be a good obedience. Yeah, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe doing exactly what the Lord commanded. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. So that could be a good motive. But we're going to go to another level of rationale, of motivation. One of the things we do at Krista, the organization I now work with, is to not only motivate people with the word of God, but to mobilize them to the unreached fields where people have never heard the gospel. And I really appreciate Pastor and the team literally clearing this time for me to bear on you this important message. I have a burden, having been 5 years the missions pastor in this church. My burden is America has outsourced everything overseas. We dare not outsource the Great Commission. It is still ours. We should be engaged. We should be sending people from our churches to the ends of the earth, building teams. And I'm not, short-term missions is wonderful. I'm a cheerleader for short-term missions. But short-term missions should be a window into cross-cultural missions. Who are we sending? Or are we just sending, paying somebody to get the job done? Are we actually doing global missions by proxy? I'm just asking the question. When I first came to the United States in 1986, when I was here, I used to go to these mission conferences and people would speak. People would get up and come right down the aisles. Glenn, you remember those days? They'd say, I will go. And sometimes they drag their wives with them or husbands with them. I'm not marrying you if you don't go. It's like, oh, I'll marry you, you know. People know I'm serious. People gave themselves to missions. They learned language, acquisition, school. They went on deputations. I am not seeing that happen today. Why? Has Jesus' commission changed? So I have this burden to bear this word of God upon us. You are our sending church. So I want to be honest there. There may not be a little more jokes than I usually do, but listen, we've got to hear the voice today. We're going to look at two other motives. The voice from all around us. In the first service we sang, we have heard the Macedonian call. Send the light. Is God still calling people like he called Paul to go to Macedonia? What was the context? How did he respond? Is God still doing it? When we look at the need around us, listen, look at us in a comfortable auditorium with all the lights and cushioned chairs with the right temperature. We're sitting and we're enjoying church, aren't we? There are people who will be killed if they gather together like this. Did you know that? We have a Bible we are opening and we are fighting over versions. I showed them slides of Bhutan. They don't even have the Old Testament in the Dzongkha language. Imagine that. They don't even have the Bible in their own heart language. I'm going to show you places where they've never heard the name Jesus, not even once. Not even as a swear word. So this is my compelling call for us as Crosspoint. Is there some way, are we just going to retire in Florida? Or is there more to life than that? That's good. I mean, that's wonderful. But is there more to life? Have you ever wondered? There must be more to life. I even want to challenge some of our young people seated there. I mean, young, they like bungee jumping. Do you know what bungee jumping is? I mean, I'm like, if you can do bungee jumping, you can do missions. So I'm going to challenge us today, and I just want to forewarn you that this is not an easy message for me, but you are family, and I thought I'll bear this once a year to think about it, to not lose sight that there are people outside this fold. There are sheep, other sheep, Jesus said. Them also, John 10:16, I must reach. Is that must of missions ours? When I train people for church planting, I use four categories. I use the category of those who go to find lost sheep. How many of us in our church today have the gift of evangelism, or is it just died in the first century? Do you naturally want to tell someone about Jesus? Gossip the gospel. Is there someone who's like, I want to go and find where they are? And here's the word. There should be an intentionality. There should be a deliberate way to see, I am going to leave the 99 behind to find the one lost because they're precious to Jesus. Secondly, after you find them, you've got to fetch them, isn't it? You've got to bring them to the fold. How many of us are discipling people? I'm not saying playing musical chairs. You know, churches do that today. They don't like this. Another church likes this. They're politically divided. The music is better here. The pastor is more biblical. They just play musical chairs. How many of us are earnestly bringing in people who've never before followed Jesus, but because of your testimony at work or wherever you teach in the hospital, they are saying, I want to become a follower of your Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? People who not only find them, but fetch them and bring them. But of course, you also need people like Pastor Jerry and Pastor Tom now. After you find and fetch them, you have to flock them, isn't it? Baptize them, give them a sense of belonging, which is wonderful. We do this very well here at Crosspoint. Dorothy and I were driving yesterday. We went to Penobscot, the observatory. Beautiful. We thought we died and gone to heaven. So beautiful to follow the foliage stuff. And better than all that was the people we talked about who loved and cared for us in this church. And we do the flocking and the feeding very well. But I wonder whether we need a little emphasis on the finding and fetching. And then comes the flocking and the feeding. But if you keep feeding, the sheep become goats. And you know what happens? They keep butting each other in church. So this emphasis on missions is to see if we can hear the voice around us and respond to the voice within us. I'll give you the answer, and then we look at the message. I want to submit to us that the highest motive for us to get the Great Commission done is the love of Jesus Christ. Yes, we may be guilty, people are going to hell. We may feel, oh, the urgency, people have so much of needs, I got to meet those needs. We may even feel, oh my goodness, all around, and yes, I got to obey Jesus. But the highest motive is the verse. I don't know how you picked these verses. You knew I was coming, right? 1 John in chapter 4, verse 19. We love him, why, church? Because he first loved us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. The love of Christ, what? Constrains us. The word in Greek was actually taken from the Greek games where they wrestled and they would lock somebody and really push them to the ground. That's the word Paul uses. He says, the love of Jesus has actually got me down now and it's constrained me that I must share the gospel. I think with millennials and even what they call Gen Zs and so on, the love of Christ is much more a magnet than a megaphone shouting at them and saying, you're going to hell. I think so. So let's try that today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, and we're going to read from Acts chapter 16, one of my most favorite passages on missions, and we're going to look at the necessity of the gospel. We looked at the reality of hell, now the necessity of the gospel. This section, and I'll read from verse 5, I'll read the whole thing and then I'll comment on it. It says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and they increased in numbers daily. So, saved, sanctified, sound asleep? I don't know. I mean, are we going to more than motivate, are we going to mobilize? Yes. Look at verse 6. Dr. Luke, who is the only Gentile writer of all the scriptures, of 40 writers, he's the only Gentile, non-Jew. He writes this and he says, they, speaking of Paul and his companions, Paul had picked up Timothy from Lystra. He's got a scholar called Silas who signs up to go on this mission. He's lost John Mark. Isn't that sad? John Mark has left Paul. He must have felt very down, isn't it? Listen, do you feel down in church today? Somebody let you down. People let us down anyway, all the time. But when the John Marks go, guess what? God provides the Timothys and the Silases. And I love this team for mission. Team Troas, I call it. They came to this region called Phrygia. Can you read? And they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of in a. What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit hindered them, held them back, forbade them to speak the word of God? Church, as I begin to talk, listen, has the circumstances, even God during this pandemic, somehow held you back? Think of the things we were shut down and hunkered from doing. I had travel bans, tickets I wanted to book to go to Pakistan that I had to cancel because the Delta variant and all the quarantine broke my heart. I said, God, don't you want me to go? This is what I do. And I was hindered. Let me say, if you feel like me, that God has stopped you, you had that intention. Let me say, not only the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, even the stops. God sometimes stops us because he wants us to wait for a greater reason. He was hindered. He comes there, but by the Spirit of Jesus, he says he was not allowed. Verse 8, so passing through Mysia, they came to a place called Troas. This is that infamous city. A few miles was the old Troas, and the Romans somehow thought they were the descendants from, you know, the Trojan Wars and, you know, the gods and stuff. So this is a very famous city. They come. It's a seaport. It's the most western part of Asia. That's it. You're going to fall into the Aegean Sea if you go further. Paul stops. Church, have you ever been hindered and you stop and you can't go forward? You feel stuck? You look around and there's no help. What do? You look up. You look up. And I'm here in this mission conference say, no matter what goes around, we can look up. And Paul was so restless. What do I do? You know what he does? When he looks up and he prays, he falls asleep. Isn't that nice? He gives his beloved sleep. He falls asleep, and during the night, verse 9, there was a vision that appeared to Paul in the night. A man from what? Oh, come on, church. A man from? Oh, come on, you answer quickly. We finish early. A man from? Macedonia. He appears. He was standing there. And here's a strong, very intense word in Greek. He was urging him, saying, come. And so the word for today is not just send or go. It's come and love. Come, he says. Come over. Where? To Macedonia. For what? Help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, I wonder how he knew this was from God. How did he recognize the Macedonian? Some people think there were all kinds of statues of Alexander the Great. Philippi was the principal city that was named after Alexander the Great's father, Philip II of Macedon. Philip actually built this huge city just to flaunt the Greek philosophy and culture to show off. Years later, the Romans took over that. And this was when Augustus Caesar, remember Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar? Augustus actually defeated the two traitors, Brutus and Cassius. And so Augustus now comes and he shows it off under Pax Romana and he builds this fortified city. Did you know if you were a citizen of Philippi, you had equal rights and tax exemption from Rome? And all the Roman officers who retired after fighting and meritorious with a lot of money, guess where they gravitated and settled? Philippi. I'm not kidding. That was Philippi. Philippi was the city where people who had done their stuff took their retirement and they settled down. They were rich and they're like, let's relax. It was in this city that Paul was asked to go. And what did he do in verse 10? He said, I got to pray about this. Let me fast. Let me consult. Let me go into a little bit of dialogue. You know what? Immediately. I love that word. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. We've said that to our kids, haven't we? Delayed obedience is disobedience. How many of us have procrastinated? We wanted to do. Maybe you're sitting and say, okay, Chris, how do I discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? And I've been asked this in theological and apologetics conference. They give me the spotlight, you know, sit there in the hot chair, and they'll ask me, Dr. Janakin, how do you discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? And I say to them, it sounds just like Dorothy's. God uses people. People who are near us and dear to us. I believe that this Macedonia could have been Luke himself who arrives. Luke went to medical school. Where? In Macedonia, in Philippi. So perhaps Luke's entry itself would have brought to Paul's mind, there are people that I need to reach who do not yet know. Gentiles like Luke. I mean, I have students all the time who say, come with me. They're like, well, we wish to come. I said, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the call. I'm waiting for the call. And I say, give me your number. I will call you. Why do you need a call when you have a command? Go. Well, we look more about the call. There are three aspects. There's the objective reality, the word of God, but also there is the subjective experience and the collective affirmation. Don't worry about those. I'll explain that in a minute. Now, I don't know why I went there. So here we have this call. Let me read that text because he goes and immediately he said, I love the way he says, the Holy Spirit forbade me. The Spirit of Jesus would not let. And he says, God the Father has called us to preach. And so we went. Did you see the Trinity come together? This is amazing. All three, Father, Son, and Spirit, involved in the sending of the church. The man from Macedonia, you remember that? Okay, hold on to that. So he crosses. So the agency, he takes a boat, he comes to a place called Samothrace, and then Neapolis was the entry gate into Europe. Now think about this. A few years ago, there was a young fellow, 33 years old, he dies. His name is Alexander the Great. He starts in the Western world and takes over and Hellenizes. He makes the rest of the Eastern world Greek, right? Now there's another bald-headed, bow-legged, hook-nosed, beaten-up Paul the Apostle. Listen to what he does. He takes the gospel from the Eastern world with all the weakness of the cross. He takes it into Europe. This is the first time the gospel goes into Europe. God's ways are not our ways, but his time is not our time too. Now you realize why the Holy Spirit had the stops, because there's something open. The first European convert is the man from Macedonia, right? Wrong. It's a woman called Lydia from Thyatira. Oops. Has God surprised you? I tell you what, if you want to be a missionary, you got to be malleable and be ready for surprises. Imagine looking for a man from Macedonia. The number of things that transpired changes, and he meets Lydia. All I want you to know that when he comes here, he notice verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, in theology we call this the Lucan we. Did you see the we? Now it's not longer they in the third person plural. It is we in the first person plural, which means what? Dr. Luke has joined the Apostle Paul. It's now he's part of the team. If you study especially Paul's missionary journeys as he took into the sea, Paul would often fall sick. Hey, listen, isn't it nice to have a medical doctor with you? You think God takes care of his own? Last week I said, unless you step out in faith, God won't show up in power. How does God show up? Through people. This is why I believe in team. As far as I remember, the last time we sent a young lady called Kimberly, I wonder who's next from our church. I'm not saying we don't support missionaries. We send a lot of our substance. But is God calling human resources from our church? I can tell you, I sat in the office just opposite where Gloria used to sit, and there was a couple that came from Maine. He was a pilot with American Airlines, and he had two more years to finish. And Dale Doloff said to me, I'm going to finish and then I'm going to come and join OTAN. I want to go to the most difficult place. I said, that's North Korea. He said, okay. You know, God had a vision. You should hear Dale's testimony, because he used to fly and he'd see this dark spot. And God had convicted me. He comes back and he says, you know what? I'm not even going to wait till I retire. I actually encouraged him, stay, because you get the provident funds or whatever you get, retirement funds, you get the social security, you don't have to raise money. He said, Dr. Chris, I don't care. God's going to take care of me. Janet and I are going. And Dorothy and I have actually gone and spent time with Dale and Janet on the border, the Chinese part of the border, and even crossed over into North Korea. We've done that. From Maine. So this is not something that's happening in Scripture. It can happen from Maine to North Korea. We've been there. This is the God of the Bible. This is why we have missions. So let me read this. He comes to Philippi. This leader, it's on a Sabbath. He goes outside the gate, verse 13. And this is a riverside, a place and for prayer. And he's looking. Could there be a synagogue? You see, Paul was a smart strategist. You win the winnable. You start with those, you get them on your side. Like if you got the Jews, then you can go to the Gentiles, right? Jesus said, go to the Jew first. But what do you do when there's no Jews? He's looking for a synagogue and he can't find it. He says, if at all there's a synagogue or some kind of a Jewish, they will be by running water. Because this would be the bar or bat mitzvah. This is when a 13 or 14-year-old boy or girl comes to age and they could read the Torah, son of the commandment, bar mitzvah. And then there's a big occasion. They need water. So he goes to, and he finds Lydia. Here is this filthy, rich, fashionable woman. Can you see her? 101 Dalmatian lady. And she's there. And you know what else? She's from Thyatira. She's into business expansion. They've done it in Tyre. She wants to start a branch in Philippi. So she comes to Philippi, business as missions. One of the reasons I teach at Liberty is because the people I teach go to places that I would not go. Evan right now is in Vietnam working with the YMCAs as a mechanic. Vic, who came to me now, owns the two largest coffee shops downtown from Nepal. Gary knows that. One of my students was Miss America runner-up. Can you see me on the catwalk? No, don't use your imagination. No. But someone I can influence can go to places that I can never go. I hope you're thinking with me now as a church. Because we're talking missions with global missions. So they go there and Lydia comes. And can you imagine this? These fashionable women, I don't know how what clothes they wore in the Roman world. And they meet these four Baptist pastors and says, would you come and stay with us? I wonder what the sending church would have said with four men going to stay with these fashion design women. What do you think? Should they go or not? You can decide, but Paul actually went. He went and he stayed. He stayed with these women. And you know what? He leads Lydia to Jesus Christ. I love this because Lydia was already God-fearing, which means she was seeking. She was one of those Gentiles. And it says, God opened her heart. I love that. You see, it wasn't Paul's persuasive rhetoric what convinced her. It wasn't even the strategic plans and programs that they had. It was the Holy Spirit touching and opening the hearts of those God had prepared. Church, this is our God. He's already at work. Now, think with me as we look at these. Go to the Gentiles. The first thing I want you to do is listen. Is God speaking to us through this passage? Are we listening? Some of us have what they call selective listening. I don't know how Dorothy has lived with me. I'm turning little deaf, she says. And I go, huh? It's like the husband who said to his wife, he said, I think you have a problem. I can't hear you. He said, sweetheart, why don't you go and check your hearing range? And he said, you know how we husbands are. I said, no, I'm okay. He said, why don't you just go and check? So eventually he goes and he does this test. So the doctor says, what is your range? What's your hearing range? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean hearing range? Well, he says, how far can you hear? He says, I don't know. He says, why don't you go home and test it? Call your wife and then find out when she can hear you. So he comes to the door and he says, honey, I'm home. And he can see her in the kitchen, but she's not turning. So he goes in right up across the living room and he stands there. He says, honey, I'm home. Still she's not turning around. He's thinking, oh my goodness, what's wrong with my wife? She is the problem. She can't hear. So he goes right close to her, saying, no, she's deaf. He says, honey, I'm home. And she turns around and says, for the third time, what do you want? You see, it's not that God is not calling. Are we listening? Two verses that just pricked my heart while I prepared this early hours of the morning. I could hear Jesus saying, teaching them the parables. And he says, listen, those who have ears, let them hear. Did you know even the balance for our walking has to do with our inner ears? If you want to walk with God, you better listen to his word. Even one of the last messages of Jesus on the island of Patmos to John, he says, send these seven letters to the churches and let him who has ears, let them. Cross point. Are we listening? And I think the reason why we don't listen is because we are too busy to hear the Macedonians. Who's your Macedonian? Who's my Macedonian? Are they around us? The place where you work, have you heard the Macedonian call? Are we too busy? And that can happen to us, isn't it, church? We can be so busy for our own good when it comes to obedience to the mission of God. We need to listen. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Maybe we don't know because we're not still. Is God speaking to us? But then I ask, do you hear what I hear? Because we think there's needs all over, right? There's people with needs all over. But hold on. Is that the same? I want to ask you this. If there was a big log here, huge, heavy, Maynard's, Bango, logging, the big axe guy. And on one hand, one end of the log, I say, we need to move this log from here outside. And I call one of our dear ladies from the senior saints. Any senior saints here? Silver saints, is it? What do we call them? Silver saints? Any silver saints? Not in this service? Okay. If I call one of our older ladies, say, could you hold it here? And she's trying to pick this log up. And then I come on this side, I say, hey, I need 10 macho men. And there's 10 guys kind of walking up. Now tell me, if all those 10 guys lift this side and say, okay, let's move it, would that be fair? You'd say, no, one of these guys need to go on this side. Let me ask you, cross point, when it comes to missions, if all of us are working among those who've already heard, who will reach those who've never heard? Does this make sense? That's not even fair that we all go to areas that I've already taken. 5,700 people groups with an average of 10,000 in each of them have no church or no one even engaged, which means no one even is planning to go. It's unengaged people groups. I don't know, is God stopped calling American churches to do cross-cultural missions? Or is God calling you? Is there more to life than retiring in Florida? You say, Nanakin, don't pick on Florida, I already decided. Well, could we reach the nations in our neighborhood? Church, there's only two things that last forever. It's the word of God that endures, the gospel. And what will it profit you, gain the whole world and lose your own? The souls, people, only two things that last forever. Is God in this missions conference asking us to have access to this? I put this picture to say sometimes you have to learn to do the thing that's different, difficult, and often demanding. Our pastor, Jerry Mick, is a classic example of what he's doing now. He doesn't even like heights, by the way. Imagine when I took him on an elephant ride. He's like, Nanakin, I hope this thing is not going to drop me. Look at his face. He's so scared. He doesn't want to smile for that picture, Jerry. But listen, he's doing it, isn't it? But we need one another. We need team. We need to go together because none of us are as good as all of us put together. Here's another picture I want to show you of the first time. When I was from Nepal, I went into Bhutan. This is a restricted access country. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In Bhutan, ruled by a king, it's illegal to share the gospel or proselytize. And I was so nervous. I remember sitting in this fancy hotel because they give you a go. The guy was dressed up to watch what you're doing, and they report you to the government, deport you, blacklist you, sometimes put you in prison. And I remember the two people who walked towards me in this hotel. I was so scared. They said, are you Dr. Chris? I said, yeah. Do I know you? He says, you don't recognize me, do you? He said, I'm Chimi Doji. He said, 21 years ago, you were my teacher in India, and I am now in Bhutan. We got church here. Would you come? Then this lady comes, and she's looking at me. And I'm thinking, who is this? He says, I'm Zangmo. I actually work for the government education. Welcome to Bhutan. We have a lot of people, souls in this place. And I'm looking at Chimi and Zangmo, and I'm thinking, Chimi, you put on a lot of weight since I saw you. He's probably thinking exactly the same. He says, you are double the person you were. But listen, today he's the one who takes me into Bhutan. Places, he's sitting next to me in both these sides. I've kept this picture. Church, I'm asking us, would you reach out to those who are away? How do you do it? Very simple. Look in front. You reach those who are near you, who are like you. Is that okay? You reach people who are near you and who are like you. They like Whoopie Pie and Moxie or whatever. They're near you and they're like you. They look like you, they act like you, that's fine. If you do that, you reach people who are near you, like you, then you can reach people who are like you, but they are not near you. Maybe the inner city, another part of the US, with the nations coming. So you reach people who are, near you and they are like you. Then you reach people who are not near you, but they are like you. Then you reach people who are not near you and they are not like you. Let's try that again. Reach people who are near you and they are. Then you reach people who are not near you, but they are. Then you reach people who are not near you and they are not like you. Imagine Paul when he comes and he crosses over and sees, instead of a man from Macedonia, he sees a woman called Lydia. He's like, oh, wrong number. No, he picks it up. God not only opens Lydia's heart. Church, listen to this. He opens Lydia's heart so that Lydia can open a home, hospitality. You know what else? Who do you think sponsored Paul's trip into Europe? The only church in the New Testament that sent money to Paul was from Philippi. And it is to them he wrote the thank you letter that's now part of the Bible, the book of Philippians. Church, I want to encourage you today. This is what God does. He opens people's hearts. Maybe you're thinking, who's going to support me? Well, I don't like deputation. There must be another reason for fundraising. Listen, would you reach people near you like you, and then who are not like you and not near you? God opened the hearts and the homes and even the hands, the pocketbooks of people. It is so important. What do you need to do? Well, number one, you need to cross boundaries. Would you decide that today? Is there a boundary you need to cross? In this case, yeah, it's a geopolitical boundary. Geographically, they're going to another place. This is the Roman Empire. But did you know this was also a social-religious boundary? Paul was a Jew. He worshipped in the temple. There are no temples. And he has to go by a river and worship the pantheon of gods when he was a monotheist. Paul was in this class of people, and now he's reaching different socioeconomic strata. He spoke Hebrew. They principally spoke Latin. 80% of inscriptions in Philippi were all in Latin because it was a Roman colony. Language, sociolinguistic barriers, ethnolinguistic barriers. These are the things missionaries do. I mean, you're like, oh, I'm glad you mentioned. That's not me. I don't like language acquisition. But will you cross a boundary? You need to penetrate barriers. That's my second B. And there was this inscription on the ark. No one shall bring a foreign god into Philippi. And that was strict. That's why they met outside the city by the river, because they could not bring a new religion into Philippi. That's what we call restricted access, limited access countries. But you have to break through barriers. Without friction, there is no motion. And these doors of opportunity, they swing on hinges called opposition. And if we're going to do this, we're going to face opposition. Would you do that? Third, you have to become a bridge. Cross boundaries. I don't know what boundary it is. Would you pray about it? Penetrate through barriers and there will be opposition. Paul was put in prison. Silas signed up to go with him. Guess where he ended up? In the middle of the night, beaten up, thrown in prison. You know what they did? Singing, jailhouse rock. And they're like, jailer gets saved. You know what else? You have to become a bridge. And this is my appeal to you tonight. Would you be a bridge? Look, the reality of hell. People are dying and going to hell without Jesus. Some have no access to the gospel. Is it fair that we come to church and hear the gospel Sunday after Sunday, Sunday, and there's people who've never heard it once? Would you give these people one opportunity to reject Christ? Forget accepting him. Would you give them an opportunity? to show them the way to heaven. It's God speaking to us. Would you be a bridge? I'm going to show you this as my last slide today. I remember 4 years ago, the first time I got an opportunity as part of writing a book for Zondervan Academic Press, Do Jews, Christians, and Muslims Worship the Same God? It got me to the embassy in Pakistan and got a visa to go into Islamabad. I was talking to these imams and mullahs, and they said, why do you Americans always think all these Muslims are terrorists? I said, I'm sorry. I said, but all terrorists happen to be Muslims. Have you heard of Buddhist terrorists? No. And he said, you got to go to the Swat Valley. We don't have them. And I did go. And there in that Swat Valley, this was where the American snipers went and they used women and children as human shields. You remember that? That's where I ended up. You see that little boy in front? That's the age I saw him carrying AK-47s to kill each other. And then they took me into the Sandalwood Mosque with the imams and mullah during the masjid, during the time of prayer, salat. And I was able to share. This guy standing next to me wouldn't even smile. I said, can I take a picture? He said, yes. Educated in Switzerland, one of the most powerful guys, strapping. But it was from this a church was born. And even today, I lead a Bible study every month in that area with the Taliban. We have now managed to get one person, Habib, out of Kabul. This is not yesterday. This is today. This is happening now. But we've got to be Bridges Church. My time is up. We've got to be Bridges Church. And if you and I are going to be bridges, listen, you don't have to be smart. A bridge has to be anchored on both sides, isn't it? It's not a bridge to nowhere. Are you anchored in Cross Point? In His Word? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Second, are you anchored in the context of people who've never heard the gospel? Don't call it outreach if it's not focused on the unreached. Because that's what outreach is. How are we praying? Are you into Joshua Project? Have you read ethne.com? Do you know where these unreached people groups are? Are we ready to send someone there? That's a bridge. Has to be anchored in both sides. You know what else? A bid needs to be strong because winds of opposition will blow. Are you strong? Thirdly, if you're going to be a bridge, people are going to step all over you. That's why people don't want to be missionaries. But the voice from within, as Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me, Peter? Isn't it wonderful? Jesus didn't say, why did you deny me? You didn't obey what I told you. I gave you the keys of the kingdom. I hope you feel guilty. People go to hell. He said, Peter, do you love me? Three times, Peter affirmed, Lord, I love you. I like you a lot. Lord, you know I love you. And all three times, Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. There are other sheep that are not yet of this fold. Would you do that today? Pastor's coming up. There's three things you can do. Is God calling someone from Bangor Baptist, from Cross Point now? And you're like, you know what? I don't know where, I don't know how, but I think I know that I need to be willing. Or if you're not willing to go, would you let go? Look at the resources we have. I'm talking not only of monetary resources or in kind, I'm talking or cash. I'm talking about human resources. Would you go? Would you let go of your children? Nowadays, people don't even let go of children. Would you let go? You can't take it with you. Have you seen a hearse? And has a hearse ever been followed by a U-Haul? No, you can't take it with you. Why don't we give it away? And if not, we have a whole bunch of missionaries. We faithfully pray and support. Would you help us go? Shall we pray? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Go, let go, and help go. If God has spoken to you today, church, would you? This has been a challenging message, but if the Holy Spirit is nudging you through circumstances, things have been stopped in your life, that could be the work of God during this pandemic. Secondly, if you know the Word of God and you say, you know what, I want to be part of a team, Cross Point has so many ways in which we can reach out. And most of all, would you help our missionaries go? If that's your desire, would you respond as God wants you to this morning?
Well, thank you, Dr. Chris, for bringing God's word and a challenge to go, let go, and help go. Well, he said one thing I wrote down: when we step out in faith, God shows up in power. So we're going to ask you to step out in faith and continue to pray through those pledge cards as we build a budget for our missions team. As Dr. Chris and Dorothy, they'll head back in the back if they would, and you can greet them if you'd like to greet them. And if you would like to encourage them, they're going to be offering plates as you leave the auditorium that we're going to take a love offering for Dr. Chris and Dorothy. So if you are interested in giving something, would you please give in the offering plates and the pledge cards go in the back. So would you stand with me this morning as we close our time in prayer? Thanks so much for being here. I hope that you have been challenged, and most of all, I hope that you have been changed by God's word that never changes. So Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We thank you for the challenge to go. We thank you for the challenge to let go, and then we thank you for the challenge to help go. So I pray that we may take time today and tomorrow and the weeks to come to pray through what you have called us to do. And we pray for our missionaries, that they would be encouraged, that they would be lifted up, and that most of all, may your word continue to go forth to those that do not know, so they can have the opportunity to confess you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we're so thankful for today. We pray that you receive the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. As you leave, don't forget, you're now entering the mission field.